In this year of God that we have established here at Orchard Hill for 2024, the series that we are in now has just one goal to it, and that is to help everybody here be able to hear from God. That's our goal. We want to find a way that we can help all of you be able to hear from God. Because I think arguably this is one of the conversations that we most get brought into as pastors here at Orchard Hill Church, is that people come to us and say, this is what I'm thinking about doing, but I'm trying to discern what God wants me to do, and I think he's saying, but I'm just not sure, or I think I want to do this, and I'm trying to find out what God, and I want to go this way, I'm not sure, I just don't know that I ever hear from him, God seems kind of absent right now, and we get brought into that conversation a lot as people struggle to say, yeah, I'm hearing from God. And so the good news that we started with last week, Pastor Greg shared with us the one foundational truth, that God speaks. God speaks to his people. He didn't wind up this earth, and he is not absent. God is not hiding someplace for us to find. He doesn't deliver his words to us in some sort of coded cosmic puzzle that we need to discern in some way and crack that code. But God speaks to us, and God says to us, in fact, he says, here I am. If you seek me, if you go after me with all your heart and you strive to encounter me, if you seek me, you will find me. Our God speaks. He's present. We can hear from him. And that is incredible good news that we serve a God who speaks. And so on to that foundational element, in our Bible reading this morning, the Apostle Paul puts on another layer this morning and saying, here, if you want to hear from God, because he does speak, this also needs to be true of you. And those words he brings to us are in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you hear right here that Paul makes a very emphatic point that he says that you can know what God's will is? Right here he says, then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is. He says, you'll be able to do it. He didn't say, you might be able to do it. He didn't say, half the time you'll be able to do it. Maybe you can do it. He says, you will be able to do it. You will be able to know what God's will is. How great is that? How great is that? That we have a God who speaks and we can know his will. Having said that, Paul also clarifies that there are two groups. The first group, who is able to discern and hear and know God's will. But then there's also a second group who is unable to discern and know God's will. This second group that Paul is talking about here, as he divides us into two camps, the second group in verse 2, the ones that are unable to hear God's word, Paul says are those who are conformed. The ones who are conformed. That word conform means to pattern after, to be pressed into a mold, to be shaped by something. That's conform. When I read this word, I thought of back to one of my favorite playtimes with my kids when they were young, is we would bust out the Play-Doh Fun Factory. Did anybody have a Play-Doh Fun Factory? Yeah. Well, many of you, is this just like an old toy? Because it's like none of the kids are raising their hands. It's all, okay, all right, that's good. We got some Play-Doh. The rest of you, your parents did not love you because the Play-Doh Fun Factory, yes, is a it was a beautiful thing. You have the Play-Doh Fun Factory, which came with all kinds of Play-Doh. It came with all sorts of molds and attachments. And then you have the factory itself. It had a lever on it. And depending on what attachment you put on, as you put the Play-Doh in, you pressed it down and it squeezed through and it came out in the shape of whatever you had there. And then you had all the molds. And I can't tell you how many Play-Doh cookies I ate when I was a parent growing up. Here, Daddy, another cookie. Mmm, yum, yum. Yeah, and then the kids would put all kinds of toppings on those cookies, and then you get to the end of playtime, and quite often mom would say, okay, now put all the Play-Doh back into the jars by their original color.
And you didn't have any.
It doesn't work, right? Because everything is a mess. It's just all glopped up together by the time you get done. But the Play-Doh Fun Factory was awesome. But I want to tell you that many of us, I bring that up is because I think that many of us are sort of in a world play factory. A world play factory. As we move through this life, we are being pressed down and we're being molded and we're being shaped by the world. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, don't be conformed to the way of the world. And this is this way of the world is the default pattern that we are born into, and we continue to be shaped by it as the world says, here are the values that you should hold. And so we define our lives by what the world says, by the shape of the world. We're being pressed into the way of the world. And so we think our success is that we have wealth and that we have power and that we have fame, and we're pressed into that way of the world as we look at, you know, trying to have a good time, and we think it's all about partying and sexuality and excess, because that's what the world is telling us. And so we're being shaped into the world. We think of our worldview and our morality. It's being shaped by the world. We press down, it's getting pressed on us, and my goodness, you live by your truth. I'll live by my truth. There is no truth. In fact, let's just do what everybody thinks is right in their own eyes. And so we are being shaped by the world, by what's going, coming out of the media pundits, what we see on our social media, our TikTok, and our Instagram, the music that we listen to, all of this is coming into our minds, what our friends say, all of this, and it presses on us and it shapes us into this way of the world so that everything about us, our heart, our soul, our mind and strength is wired towards the ways of the world. And then we're trying to say, I can't hear the voice of God. Why? Because everything about me is tuned into the ways of the world. And God, I can't even discern his voice because everything about me is connected and informed and molded and shaped and patterned after the ways of the world. And John says in 1 John 2:15, if anyone is in love with the world, the Father is not in them. Wow. So how can we hear from God when he says the Father is not in them because they're in the way of the world? I mean, think of it. I was thinking about this way, and I was thinking almost like another way to think about it was like with earbuds or headphones, right? So those who are parents, you know, your kids will have their earbuds on and their headphones, and they'll be up in their room. And they're up in their room with their earbuds and headphones on, and you call to them and say, you need to come downstairs right now because the house is on fire.
They can't hear.
And exactly right. They can't hear because they're listening to Taylor Swift right now. And they're a Swiftie, and they got Taylor Swift coming into their head, or they're looking at their TikTok or whatever. It's coming through, you know, it's coming through the earbuds. That's all that they're taking in. So you go, I need you to come downstairs right now. The house is on fire. And they can't hear you. They can't hear your voice. Why? Because this other voice is what's in their head. And so you go, oh, well, all right, I'm running outside. I'm not going to die in the fire. And you leave them there listening to Taylor Swift. Actually, I would not do that. No, please, no emails this week, all right? I love my kids. I would run upstairs, knock on the door, rip the earbuds out of their head, pick them up, carry them down, and bring them to our safe place that we identified out in the front lawn. That's what I would do. We had a plan. We had action. So, all right, I love my kids. All right? But you get the point that I'm making, that we get so much of the world going on in our head, going on in our lives, that we're so patterned after the world, that if God is trying to speak, if God is trying to say something to us, we can't hear him because we have been conformed to the world. And that's what Paul is saying here. You're not going to be able to hear from God if you're conformed to the world. But if you want to hear from God, you need to be a certain kind of person. And we haven't talked about this for a while. You need to be a certain kind of person. And what kind of person do you need to be? A butt person. You need to be, we need to be butt people, all right? For those who are newish to Orchard Hill and haven't heard me say this before, quite often when we read the scriptures, God tells us, here's where the world is, but you are following me, so this is how you live. So most of the time we are butt people because we are following God. And we get that again. Paul is saying, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let it press you into this factory where you're just coming out as the world. Don't do that because you'll never be able to hear from God. But instead, he says, be transformed. Be transformed. The Greek word here is metamorpho. Metamorpho. And we get, we describe metamorphosis comes from that word, metamorphosis, a change. And we understand this idea of metamorphosis here in Western Michigan because of Meyer Gardens, right? Meyer Gardens right now is having butterflies are blooming. And so you can go through there and you can see all the beautiful butterflies and walk through there. But those butterflies were not always those beautiful butterflies, were they? No, they were not. They were transformed, metamorpho, from creepy, crawly caterpillars into something that's completely different.
I'm finished! Finally, I'm a beautiful butterfly! My wings! Oh, they're beautiful!
I'm like wagons picking up! You better start flying!
But I am flying! And from way up here, you all look like little ants! Ah, Peter Sam!
Poor Heimlich. He was going to be transformed into a beautiful butterfly. I think hopefully he would be even more. That's from Bug's Life, in case you're wondering where that came from.
Yes.
When Disney made good movies, that's where that came. He's transformed. Metamorpho, we get that idea, transformed. The only other time that word is used in the scripture is when Jesus Christ was transfigured on the mountain, where the disciples saw Jesus change from his physical body here on earth to his glorified body that he would have in heaven. What a change. It was a beautiful thing. And Paul is using that same word here. He is saying you need to metamorpho. You need to not be conformed by the world, not pressed into the world's shape, but you need to be changed. You need to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Instead of going through a little Plato factory or a world factory where you're coming out in the shape and the image and the ways and looking like the world, you need to now be transformed in a way where you are coming out looking like Jesus Christ, so that we are no longer stamped by the world, but we are now stamped and we look like Jesus Christ. We stamped and we look like who we are, children of God. We are pressed into the shape of those who are living within the bounds and in reign of God, that we're living in the kingdom of God. That's who we need to be. We are transformed from being in the world to now looking like Jesus Christ and being shaped into his image. That's who we're supposed to be. Be transformed. Be transformed. And how does Paul say that happens here? Be transformed, look at this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Renew means that you simply take something that you resume it to its original condition after an interruption, basically. I think I had, I'm thinking about the white tennis shoes that I had, the fashionable ones that are white for older men that have the N on the side of them. And I was going to wear those last week when Amy and I went away, but I looked at them and I go, oh my goodness, these are so dirty. What happened to my shoes? Well, maybe if I hadn't worn them in the garden and in the mud and outside, they would look nice, but they didn't. So I had to spend some time. I sit down and get out the old magic eraser, right, and try to erase them, get the scrub brush and scrub, and I'm trying to I'm restoring them and bringing them back to the brilliant so I can wear them and look fashionable like I am. And so I restored my shoes. They were all ugly and nasty. Now they're bright and beautiful. And that's renewal. We get that idea of what renewal is. And Paul is saying, this is what we do with our minds. This is how we are renewed. Our minds were created by God as good, created by God as holy and right. Then they were affected by sin. It was interrupted. Sin, brokenness, corruption, the ways of the world, and we're born into the ways of the world. And so our mind is all sin-filled and broken and distorted thoughts away from God's kingdom and who we're supposed to be. And he says we need to now stop that, and we need to renew our minds because we're being transformed. We're renewing our minds not to look like the world anymore, but to look like Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. We're going to renew our minds. I was going in the way of the world, being formed in that way. Now I'm going to renew my mind into the shape of Jesus Christ. And so we have to live in to the responsibility that Jesus gave us. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Why am I seeking that first? That's who I am, right? That's who you are, right? That's who you are. You are a Christ follower. You are God's child. So you are no longer part of this world. You're part of the kingdom of God. So you are seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what I'm going to do first and foremost. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. All right, so this renewal is an active process, okay? Because I don't just kind of morph into it, right? I don't just accidentally, oh, one day all of a sudden my mind is, no, this is an active, this is something that I do, that I'm going to renew my mind. And so I'm actively going to set my mind on things above, seek first the kingdom of God. And so I'm with my mind, I'm going to dig into the words of God, not into the words of the world. I may even choose to listen to more praise music, more music that edifies and glorifies the things of God. And so I'm going to listen to those things. So those things are coming in into my head. I'm going to have conversations with people who focus on the things of God, who move us in the right direction. So my mind is thinking on those things. The media choices that I make for my life are not going to be the media choices I would make if I lived in the world, because I'm now setting my mind on things above. And so I'm going to make different media choices that are more focused on who God is and what God's will and ways are. Oh, come on, Pastor Bob, you're being a little ridiculous. I don't want to be a super Christian. I'm not aiming to be a missionary. You're telling me that everything I do has to be focused and everything has to be focused on God. Aren't you getting a little extreme, a little radical there? Dial it down a little bit. No, I'm not. Because that's who we are we not? That's who we are. We are Christ followers. How can I follow Jesus Christ if I don't? Paul tells us, he said, have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16. He's quoting the Old Testament. He says, have the mind of Christ. So how can I possibly follow Jesus Christ? I'm a Christ follower, but I have no idea what Jesus is thinking. No idea what Jesus wants. No idea what Jesus values. Instead, I know a lot of what the world values, and I know a lot of what the world thinks is right. And so where am I going to go? I'm going to drift towards the way of the world. You see, I'm not being radical because this is who we are and we must live into it to seek first the kingdom of God and to develop the mind of Christ. And when Paul says have the mind of Christ, he didn't say have a quarter of the mind of Christ, did he? He didn't say, well, I'll go halfway, have half mind, half word, that'll be good enough. You know what, even if you're three quarters here and a quarter here, that would be fine. No. You're either for me, says Jesus,
or you're against me.
And we are to be for Jesus, and so we are to think. In Philippians 2:5, it says this, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus. It's that clear. That's how we're renewed. We think and act like Jesus. So my mind is completely renewed, rewired with the plans and purposes and ways and thoughts and values of Jesus Christ. After salvation, when I give my life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes and lives within me, I now put forth the effort to seek first, to set my mind on things above, and I dig into God's Word, and I'm reading God's Word. I'm in tune with music that lifts up my spirit and soul. I'm engaging in Bible study with other believers, and we're talking through these words of God, and I'm focused on the values of God. As I do that, then that spirit that is inside of me, because that spirit is inside of me and has broken the things in the way of the world, the chains of the world, he now has made a way that now my mind can be renewed with that spirit living in me. I do what I can. I set the focus and take advantage of what we call the means of grace. I'm going to do those things that will move me in God's direction, and now the Holy Spirit will renew my mind. That's the pattern that we're supposed to live in, because then the old is gone. Again, not the old is still kind of with me. The old is gone, and the new has come. And the new has come. And when we have that renewal of the mind, when that mind is renewed, what does Paul say at that point? You can then do something. You will be able to test and improve what God's will is. You can do it. Prior to that, I'm confused because I'm in the ways of the world. But now with this renewed mind, set on things above, focused on Jesus Christ, I have the mind of Jesus Christ. It says, now, when I face something, and the Greek word used here is dokamazo, all right, which we translate test and approve, which is a pretty good good translation there, test and approve of that one word, then I'll be able to know when I'm facing a situation, is this of God, is this of Jesus Christ, or is this of the world? I can test and improve. These words here mean, the word is, you can prove its genuineness. You'll be able to look at it and know that this is a genuine thing. I mean, how do the people who work at detecting counterfeit money, how do they get good at their job? They don't look at the fake money. They look at the real thing. They look at the real thing. They know the real currency backwards and forwards. They know every line on it, they know every texture of it, they know what it's printed on, they know the ink, they know this thing so well that when somebody holds up a fake, they go, oh, that's a fake. I can tell. And that's the same position that Paul is saying that we get in, that when our mind is renewed and we're walking in the way of Jesus Christ, something comes along and we're able to look at it and instantly go, that's not of God. So if it's not of God, what am I going to do? Get rid of it, because I'm no longer being conformed in the ways of the world. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I'm not going to have anything to do with that. In a sense, we're able to offer a litmus test. I remember back to the days where we had our hot tub, and you know, you got to check all the chemicals and make sure they're all right. So you'd get a little drip of water, and you'd stick the little there it is, the little stick in it, and you'd match the color up to see if it lines up. If it lines up a certain color, you're good. If not, you got to work on improving it. It's a litmus test, and we now have, that is what Paul is saying right here. You can test and improve. You have a litmus test because you've walked, you know the ways of Jesus. Your mind's been transformed. And so when you're deciding, I'm going to go in this direction, he says, well, you'll know, God, it's good. It's good. It's not an evil direction. It's not a bad direction. It's good. It's going to bring life. It's going to bring beauty. It's going to bring all that goodness. But notice who defines the good. It's God, his good, pleasing. So the good is pleasing to God. Because I got to tell you, our world says things are good too, right? They say it's good for women to have a choice and to be able to have unbridled abortion. The world says that's good. And if you don't vote that way, you're in the minority. That's good. Is that pleasing to God? No, because every life is sacred to God. He knit them together in his mother's womb. He breathes them. They're all made into the very image of God. And life begins at conception, and so we don't take what the world says is good. The world says it's good to redefine marriage. God says, no, I created marriage to be between a man and a woman so children can be raised by both a mother and a dad. That's what's good. And so we need to recognize that we are not conformed in the way of the world, but our good, what's good and pleasing, is defined by God. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's what God says is true and pleasing. At the end of the day, would this be pleasing to God? What God says is right. And it's perfect. You know, not perfect in the sense that there's no errors, but perfect in the sense that it brings to maturity, brings to completion. And what is God's goal? That we all end up in the shape and image of Jesus Christ, in full maturity, looking exactly like Jesus Christ, that we are living under the reign and realm and ways of God, so that where we end up is in this kingdom of God. And so will this lead us into a way that brings us towards that fulfillment of God, what he says his eternal and final glory looks like? That's the will of God. And so we suddenly have this litmus test that we can hold our things up to and make very bold decisions and say, no, God has said this. I know this is the direction God doesn't want us to go. Because God is clear. Because God speaks. And we are able to understand God's will. And so I just want to ask you this morning, where are you this morning? Are you struggling to hear God's word? Are you struggling to hear God's voice? Then you know where I'm going to push, don't you? You know I'm going to push and say, maybe you're being conformed to the world a little too much. Maybe you're being shaped by the influence of this world, pressed down by this world, shaped into the image of this world. And so maybe this week you need to get rid of some of the world. Get rid of it. Maybe that means, because the Apostle Paul says that we are to take every thought that is not of Jesus Christ and hold it captive so it doesn't have sway on us, and then demolish it. Are there things in your life that need to be demolished because they are not fitting with God's ways and who God says he is and what's right and pleasing and perfect according to God? Maybe there's some things you need to get rid of. Maybe it's some of the media. Maybe it's some friends that you hang out with. I don't know what it is, but there are things that we may need to get out of our life so that we then can be filled with the things of God. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." And so what is it this week, and how this week can you set your mind on the things of the Spirit and fill yourself with God. Philippians 4:8 says, what is ever true, what is ever noble, what is ever right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is ever admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about those things. So look back. Are you filling your life with those things and your mind with those things? Or are you filling it with the world? How can you begin to fill your mind with the things of God? Can you get into His Word? Can you get in conversation and Bible study with other believers? Can you listen to some music that moves you into the direction of God? How is it you can begin to fill your mind with the things of God? You see, we need to abide with Jesus Christ, because this is really about a relationship. That I'm walking in relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the rabbi. I'm following in His footsteps. I want to think like He thinks. I want to love like He loves. I want to be the hands that as Jesus would want me to be, the feet as Jesus would want me to be, the voice. I want to be exactly like Jesus. That's what I'm aiming for, so that I'm focused completely on Him. And so the way for me to do that is just to walk with Him, stay with Him, abide with Him each and every day. It's relational is what we're talking about here, not a list of rules. I'm not trading in a list of immoral rules for a list of new moral rules, but I'm trading in a way of walking in the things of the world for myself into a way of walking with Jesus Christ in His relationship that will lead me into the kingdom of God. And so how can you better unite yourself with Jesus Christ this week? Maybe each day start with a prayer and just say, Jesus, by Your Holy Spirit, keep my mind firmly set where You need it to be, and help me to focus today on You, because I want You to renew my mind and You to own my mind. What if you began to say that prayer each and every day? I believe God would answer it. I believe transformation would happen like that in your life, that you would find yourself not questioning and wondering what God would do, but that you would find yourself in a position knowing what God wants you to do. I may have shared this before. In all the years that I was a youth pastor, the number one question that I would get from teenagers who get the hormones raging would be like, Pastor Bob, how far can we go? Right? That's the question. Want to know how far on that line of sexual intimacy can I go before I cross the line and now it's not, now it's a sin, right? Now it's a not of God. Where is that? And my answer to them would always be, get to know Jesus and the line will take care of itself. Walk with Jesus Christ. Get to know the mind of Jesus Christ. Get to think like Jesus thinks, because then that lure of the world that is telling you this is fun and this is good and this is what everybody else does is going to take care of itself. I'm not going to want to do that because I'm no longer conformed to the way of the world, but I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind, and now I can test and improve what God's good and pleasing and perfect will is. And so, friends, let's strive this week. Let's strive this week to get to know Jesus in a better way so that we can hear from the voice of God and walk in His will and His ways. God, we thank You for this morning, that we've been able to come and worship You, lift our hearts to You, recognizing You is where our life is found, recognizing that You are the one that we owe everything to. And God, this world just promises that it's everything, and we know that it's not. We know that You promised life and life abundant, and God, that's the way that we want to walk. And so, God, as the world has been leading us in a different direction, trying to lead us away from that life You promised, we ask in this week that we would have clarity about our next steps, about all our steps. And God, that as we seek You, as we seek Your face, that You would continue to lead us in Your will and ways by Your voice that's out there speaking to us. God, unplug our ears this week. Help us to live our lives close to You and in You. because we are told that we are to be not in the world, that we are in the world but not of it. Help us to live our lives completely of you. And so as we draw close to you, may we hear that voice, and may we then be ready to obey without delay. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.